the gospel, that Jesus died for us. We accept that. We repent. We believe. And we make him our Lord and Savior, and we receive the peace of Christ. Now we don't have to be afraid to come to God and worry that our prayers won't be answered.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Peace Through Christ, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about peace through Christ. This is in Romans chapter 5, verses 1. I'm reading out the NIV. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, peace through Christ. Peace through Christ. Why is this so important? Well, first of all, I want to mention that Christ made peace. Christ made peace. In Colossians 1, 19 through 20, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Everyone wants peace. World leaders, church leaders, parents, children, people, they all strive for peace through every conceivable means. There's different forms of peace, are there not? Most people seek the peace that they're looking for in their lives in the wrong way. They seek peace through drugs or alcohol or even sex or overworking and other worldly methods. However, there is one peace that a lot of people overlook, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the peace of God, which is the true peace that each and every one of us is actually searching for. I know that this was the peace that I was looking for. And you know something? We only find it in Jesus Christ. We only find it in Jesus Christ. Christ made peace by his death on the cross. And all who accept him by repentance and faith may receive his peace. And it saddens me to see that a lot of people are not willing to take those two steps. What is repentance? Repentance is turning away from sin. And what is sin? Sin is missing the mark with God. It's coming to God and saying, repentance is coming to God and saying, "Lord, I'm wrong, and you are right." So now we become agreeing, we agree with God that we're wrong and that he is right. And then in faith, we ask God to save us, to save us. Now, you got to have faith in somebody in order to ask them to do something for you. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? A lot of people, though, they don't even take the first step. They won't repent. They, in their pride, say to themselves, "I'm doing just fine. I'm okay. I'm living my life the way I want to live it." Yet, if you look at those people's lives, you will find that there's not an inner peace. They're running around. They're upset about something. They're nervous about something. They have trials and tribulations, just like Christians do. But people who have Jesus Christ, Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ, they have an inner peace that keeps them calm in the storm. Whereas those who have not repented, who have not put their faith in Christ, who have not made him Lord and Savior, you'll see them out in the world, upset, nervous, and struggling. getting on the telephone and complaining about everything in their lives, waking up and saying, "Lord, it's morning," instead of "Good morning, Lord." I would hate to see anybody in this church struggling through life, because whether or not you believe in Jesus, you're going to have problems. But with Jesus, you'll have peace in the storms. So by repentance and faith, we get this peace. But why? Why do we need the peace of Christ? Well, I can tell you, we need the peace of Christ. We need it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." I'm sorry, does that say some people have sinned? "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I'll raise my hand first to say I am not perfect. Anybody else want to raise their hand with me? No perfect people in here. We all agree with that. Starting with ourselves, amen. Even Christians aren't perfect, amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is perfect. God is perfect. The result of unforgiven sin is death. Now you might be thinking, "I'm still alive." Amen. Praise God, you're still alive. But we're talking about a spiritual death. We're also talking about physical death. You know that there's some sins that can catch up with you, that can physically kill you. That can physically kill you. But God's gift is eternal life given by Jesus Christ our Lord. We find that in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, there's a way out. There's a way out of this separation from God. Because see, everybody's born into sin without the peace of Christ in their life. Everybody is. I was, and all of you were. The question is, how many of us in here today have stood up and said, "God, I'm wrong, and I want to be right with you"? Because there are some people in here who have lost people. They have died, and they were loved ones to these. For I know these people, and some of them lost them in a blink of an eye. It wasn't even seen. It wasn't even expected. And I would hate for somebody today to fall into the trap of Satan to say to themselves, "I don't need God, I don't need to be saved." Because you never know when your number's up. You just don't. There's some people in here right now today that is experiencing a tragic, sudden death in their family. Disobeying God, sin, results in being separated from Him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I know that somebody's a liar and a thief and a murderer, I stay away from them. I don't invite them into my house if I know what they're into. And I can promise you this, God will not invite murderers, thieves, liars. He won't put them in His house either. Our own attempts can never unite us with God. No matter how good you feel that you are in your life, no matter how many good things that I do, no how many kind words that I say to people, I can't make up to God my imperfections to Him. That's why He sent Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ took my place in judgment for God. Praise God, because you know what? I always thought I lived a clean life. I never drank, I never smoked, and I never did any drugs. But I was far from perfect. Because God had a grievance with me, because I was born into sin. I wasn't perfect. And so I had to come to God in repentance and say, "Lord, I put my faith in You, because my good works are not good enough. How can I be perfect to an all-perfect God? I need a mediator. I need somebody who is perfect." When you go to court, you're hoping and praying for a lawyer, aren't you? Because how can you stand up against a judge who has all of this knowledge in law if you don't have a lawyer defending you? Christ is our mediator. Christ is our mediator that stands before God and litigates our case, because He took the punishment that we all deserve. He took the punishment. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails. He was stripped naked and placed on the cross and nailed to it. He's the one that suffered the excruciating pain and suffering of the physical death and separation from God. Christ died once for our sins. It only took one death to cover everybody's lives. And an innocent person died for those who were guilty. Christ was innocent. He fulfilled the law in the Old Testament. God gave us 10 commandments, did he not? We sum them up in 10 commandments. None of us can follow them. If you even think of hatred in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. That's how God looks at it. If you look at a woman or a man in lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you've told so much as a lie about anything, an untruth about anything whatsoever, you're a liar and you're on your way to hell. Sounds unfair, doesn't it? As unfair as that might sound, Christ died for us when he didn't have to die, because he chose to die. He said, Lord, I don't want the people to be separated for eternity from you. I love you so much, God said, that my son will come to the cross and he will take your punishment. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. The Romans often beat people before they crucified them. And the beating was done with something called the cat of nine tails. It had nine straps on it. And on these straps, it had pieces of bone and metal. And as it hit the skin, it would rip pieces off you. And a lot of people died just from the beating. And Jesus got beat with one of those severely before he was hung on the cross. And then he was marched to the street and people laughed and ridiculed him and spit on him and mocked him. And then he was nailed to the cross, brutally nailed to the cross. And then he died. But something miraculous happened. 3 days later, because he was innocent, he didn't have to suffer eternal death. So God raised his son from the dead. Now, a lot of people like the ending of that story to be applied to their lives. They like the idea that when they die, that someday God will raise them to everlasting glory along with Christ. Because if he did it for Jesus and our faith is in Jesus, he will do it for us. But there's another part to this story, and that's the part about the whipping and the brutal death. If God allowed his only begotten son to suffer the penalty of sin, as innocent as he was, how much more do you think on Judgment Day, when somebody is standing in front of God and we're doing an account for our lives, how much more do you think that person will receive when they are guilty? It's just something to think about, because a lot of people say an all-loving God would never send anybody to hell. Well, I'm here to tell you that when God comes back, he's setting up a new kingdom. And this is going to be a kingdom of peace. It's not going to be a world like you see today where people are murdered, where people are brutally hurt and cheated and lied to and adultery happens. It's not going to be like that. If he lets everybody in who has not repented from those sins, we're going to have the same mess we already have. So what is God doing? He sent his son to give those who want to repent a chance to get out of this mess one day. There's got to be more to life than what we see, and there is. But that life comes through Jesus Christ. So when God comes back, he is going to separate the sinners from those who accepted Jesus Christ. Because those who have accepted Jesus Christ, they want to be with God. They want to be with God. They repented. I have a lot of friends who've told me that they've spent time in jail or even prison, but they've repented, and I trust them because they have proven to me through their actions and deeds and their faith in their friendship towards me that they're no longer doing that. That's what God is asking us to receive today, that peace through Christ, that repentance that says, Lord, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live for you And I want to be resurrected when your son comes back the second time to gather his flock. I want to be in that flock. I don't want to be on the left side weeping and gnashing my teeth because the Lord has rejected me because I rejected him. 1 Peter 3:18 reads, "For Christ died for our sins." Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Made alive by the Spirit. I look forward to the day that Jesus returns and the clouds part and the holy angels sing, and Jesus is calling my name into the house of the Lord, and that I get to fellowship with him for the rest of eternity. But I weep for those who won't be a part of that. Ephesians 2:17, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." Christ's message was given to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. Now listen to this. You probably heard the story that God chose a people called the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the Israelites. And Jesus was a Jew. Yet when he came in the flesh, the Jewish people rejected him as the Messiah. They refused to believe in him. And so God extended the offer to the people who were not Jews. That is called Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. But we have got the offer that the people who saw the miracles in Jesus' day, the majority of them, rejected it. They rejected him. They should have known when he appeared that he was the Messiah. The peace of God is available to all people, young and old, rich and poor. No one need to be left out. Now, you know what I hear a lot of times? "Pastor James, I just done so many things that God, he's not going to forgive me." Or, you know, "I'm just too old to change my ways now." Or, "Who am I that God would want me? I don't have a decent job. I have no money. I'm broke all the time. I'm just one of those people that society has forgotten about." People come to me of all color, of all race, of all ages. And I've heard this over and over again, that somebody always has some kind of a reason why God is rejecting them. Thank God I don't pick my friends like that. I don't pick my friends based on their color, their race, or their age. I have friends of many diversities. And so does God. So does God. And you know, one of the things that I had to learn about my friends is that I had to choose God above all else. I learned that when I choose God to be my friend, that there were some of my friends that didn't want to be my friends anymore. But you know what? The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because your friends are not going to be there on Judgment Day arguing your case to God. They're not going to be standing next to you saying, "Oh, well, God, let me tell you how great this person is." They're not going to be there. When you face God in judgment, you're going to be facing him alone. And the only thing that's going to save you is the fact that you accepted Jesus Christ, that you put your faith in him. Not your friends, not your mom, not your dad. I've had people tell me, "Well, my mom and dad are Christians, so I know I'm saved." Really? My dad fought in the Vietnam War, but I never joined the military. So does that make me a soldier anyways? No. No. It's a personal relationship that you need to work out with God. You and you yourself alone and need to work this out, regardless of what anybody else thinks, because God is ready to accept you as you are here today. He's ready to give you that peace through Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who hears the gospel, accepts and believes it, may receive the peace of God. Now, what is this peace? This peace is, means that you are no longer in disagreement with God, that you have turned from your sins, you're repenting from them, and that you're in agreement with God, and you've made peace through Jesus Christ. You're friends again. But the opposite is true. If you reject Jesus Christ, you reject God, and you are already under God's judgment. You're not going to be there. You're not going there. You're already there. Anyone who has not accepted peace through Christ is already at war with God. You ever feel like, and listen, I'm speaking to, I hope, nobody in this room. But before I was saved, I would pray And I felt like God wasn't listening to me. And I thought, man, God, praying is useless because it never works. Because God's holy word teaches us that without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're sinners. And God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. The only prayer that God hears of a sinner is the prayer of salvation, the prayer of repentance and faith. That's the first prayer and the only prayer that he hears from a sinner. After that, God's ear is open to you. Amen? We got to put this into context. If you're going in front of the judge and it's your third trip, you're in more trouble than the first trip, aren't you? And the judge is not going to continue listening to you. You can speak all you want, all your excuses, but this is your second, third, fourth trip in front of the same judge. He's going to close his ears, isn't he? Who wants to listen to somebody who keeps doing the same things over and over again? But if you go to the judge and he says, if you go through this program and you straighten your life out, we can forgive your trespass. And then you return back to him on your second trip, and this time it's to give good report. He's listening to you, is he not? Because you went through the program and you got straight. Our program that we need to go through, each and every person, is the program that God has set through Jesus Christ, the gospel. That Jesus died for us. We accept that. We repent. We believe. And we make him our Lord and Savior. And we receive the peace of Christ. Now we don't have to be afraid to come to God and worry that our prayers won't be answered. Because God's ear is tuned into us. Thank God that the Lord hears my prayers. You know, Jesus said once, thank you, Father, because I know you hear me. You always hear me. You know what? I can claim that promise. I know that when I pray to God, that he is always listening to me, no matter how small the prayer, no matter how quiet the prayer, even if it's a prayer in my heart, God heard it. God heard it. Do I get everything I want? No, I don't get everything I want. And I'm glad for that too, because some of the things that I think I want could be bad for me. Amen. You know, you all wanted something and got it and wish you never had it. Anybody been there? You know, you were even praying for it too. And not that God answered that prayer, but you got it. And then once you got it, you couldn't wait to get rid of it. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Now, Christ gives peace. There's more to it than just peace between God and yourself. John 14:27, this is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Oh, I love this scripture because listen to this. First of all, Christ is saying, I'm going to give you some inner peace. But it's not the peace that the world gives you. What does that mean? It means that, you know, the troubles in life are still going to come. Sorry to bust anybody's bubbles, but troubles will come. But what it means is that you're going to have an inner peace. People are going to look at you and say, my goodness, how are you so calm? How are you so calm in what's going on? You can't explain it, and they can't explain it, because it's Jesus. It's God. Some people I've known could walk into a room, and you could feel the peace of Jesus around them, fill the room. This is the peace that Jesus is talking about, an inner peace. You know, happiness comes from external things. Happiness, I got a new car. I'm happy. I'm excited. I got a new house. I'm happy. I'm excited. But joy is knowing that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Joy is knowing that no matter what happens in this temporal life, that there is a better place waiting for you. And it's real. It's real. You may not see it now, but it's coming. And let's pray that we are on the right side of the Lord when that day comes. Now he goes on and says, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. Your heart, your thinking, your soul, what goes on up here. Don't be so troubled with the cares of life. Understand that Jesus is with you and do not be afraid. You have nothing to fear. God is for you. God is for you. The peace that the world gives isn't real or lasting. You know as well as I do that you can have it made on your job today and somebody get you fired tomorrow. Right? You know how the world works. People messing with you all the time. And it seems like every time something good happens, somebody has to come along and spoil it for you. I was having a great day till so-and-so showed up. See, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, the world fails to satisfy the longing of the soul. There's got to be more to life, right? It's got to be. The peace of Christ is a real and lasting peace. It is an inner peace. It is an inner peace. It's inside you. Nobody can take it away from you. They can mess with you a little bit, but they ain't going to get that peace away from you. This peace is not earned, by the way. This isn't something that you can come to God and say, I'm going to do something good and get something back for it. Because the Bible says that our good deeds, our works are like filthy rags to God. See, this is by grace. This is by grace. God loves you so much that you don't have to do a trick for him. You don't have to do a good deed to receive the grace. All you have to do is repent and believe. Now, why do we have to repent, you say, Pastor? Well, you have to repent because if you don't repent, you really don't believe. Amen? If I believe in somebody, I'm going to do it their way, right? To do it God's way is to turn away from hurting myself with sin and hurting others with sin. You can't purchase this peace. You can give all your money to the church, but it won't earn you salvation. It won't. You can come to church on a regular basis for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, your whole life. It won't give you salvation if you never repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So it don't matter how good you are, and it don't matter how hard you work and how rich you are. This is something that is so simple a child can understand it. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This peace is given to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, period. Yet some people find that so hard, so difficult to do because of unbelief. Unbelief is more powerful than knowledge. Unbelief is more powerful than knowledge. You can know something and still not agree with it. I see people all the time tell me they're going to die if they keep drinking. The doctor told them that they're going to die if they don't quit drinking. And they don't stop because they really don't believe the doctor. Their unbelief is more powerful than the knowledge they was given. Christ is our peace. And I'm just about done here. Amen. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. How many of you know that without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, without faith in Christ, God sees you as hostile towards him? Because God has a plan for this world. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to implement that plan. And who's he going to take with him? The people who agree with him. The people who believe in him. I don't want anybody in my church working up here, serving the church, who do not believe in what I believe in. I got to have you on my team, right? Right? You got to agree with what I'm doing in order to be efficient, right? You can't disagree with me and come up here and say, well, I want to help you get it done. That's not going to work. You're not going to give your 100%. In fact, you might even sabotage a few things if you don't agree with what I'm doing. Amen. To have true peace, we must have Christ, for he is our peace. This is the only way to get it. And I just pray that if there's anybody in here today that's hearing this and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, that you will hear this today and you will change your mind. If we are to have his peace, he must have us. We must give all to him, our hopes, our plans, our will, our future. Well, that sounds extreme, Pastor James. I can't give all that away. Why not? What have you been doing with it? I know what I was doing with my dreams, my plans, and my hopes. I was wrecking them. I was giving them away to the devil because I didn't know what to do with my life. But I know someone who does know what to do with my life, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He knows what to do even when I don't. And he is a better director of my life than I am of my own. You know, I used to live for myself. I used to be a selfish person, aren't we all, before we find Jesus? And you know what? Everything that I built up for myself came crumbling down. Didn't happen right away, but it catches up with you. And it doesn't have to be anything extreme. It could just be that you're just not believing in Jesus Christ, and your hopes and your dreams are fitting your wants. But Christ wants to give you new hopes, new plans, new dreams. He wants to fill your heart with a new plan and a new future, something that's far better than you could ever imagine for yourself. I know he did that for me. And I know that he's doing it for some people in here that I minister to on a regular basis. I see the doors opening up in their hearts, and I see the direction that God's leading them in. And sometimes they don't even notice it, but they feel it. They feel that peace overwhelming them. So in conclusion, I want to say, Christ is the way to peace with God. Christ is the way. There is no other way. There's no good works. There's no magic formula. There's nothing that can get you into peace with God but Jesus Christ. And secondly, I want to say in conclusion that we need peace with God in order to be united with him for eternity. Anybody who is not in peace with God through Jesus Christ is going to go to hell. I know that's extreme. Pastor, God sends people to hell? That's extreme. That's politically incorrect. Not according to the Bible. This book's been standing a lot longer than our government system has been. This book is thousands of years old. And God doesn't change his mind about that. God hasn't changed his mind. What worked then for God is working today for God. And I know that if we search our hearts and we're not right with God, I know that we will see that God is tugging at it, calling us forth to say, come, make peace with me. And last but not least, I want to say, Jesus died for the sins of the world so that anyone who puts their faith in him shall have peace with God. Anyone at all. This includes everybody that's in here today and everyone that's out there that wants to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ to receive that peace.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.